Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Love Talk Radio.
It's great to have you here this morning. Always great to talk about Jesus and see what his master plan is for our lives. And I guarantee you one thing, he's got the plan, and his plan is better than your plan. And other than that, I don't know what else to tell you, but we were in a big rain delay for hours yesterday at the ball field, and we got to discussing several different things, and then we started talking about what a Christian could do and what another Christian couldn't do. And if you really get in and start looking at that, I think it's in Romans chapter 2 or somewhere there in Romans. I think we looked at it in a couple different places. But a Christian, a weaker Christian, might have trouble with something that a stronger Christian can do without a problem. And you could probably substitute alcohol in there with that. You can probably substitute maybe food. You know, if I eat a certain food and it causes me to have high blood pressure or whatever might be going on, and I'm on a church retreat and and everybody else is eating eggs or whatever. I think they found out eggs doesn't hurt your cholesterol, but used to, they said it did. So, you know, people should refrain from doing something in front of me that might cause me to stumble, and that's a hard one too. But probably the one we all know is don't judge me, you know, and, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. Everybody can pull that scripture out, whether you're saved or not. And you know, there's some good to that, and there's some not so good to that, because it really, you know, you say, well, you can't judge me, and that's true. But, man, the thing about judgment is the first thing you need to do is take an account and judge yourself. And that's the biggest problem we have today, is that we've read enough of the Bible to see that God is love. Well, he sure is. But just as much as God is love, God is a judge or a just God. And for all the people who follow what God has set up and the plan that he has made through the Bible and given us, he's not going to let you slip in there, okay? You might think you're the gift to humanity, but you're not going to slip in on God. So the number one thing I could tell you this morning, if you're sitting there thinking that there's going to come a day and, you know, you're going to bargain with God, or you're going to say, God, you don't understand what I had to live through. You don't understand my family life. You don't understand I couldn't get the job I wanted. I couldn't get the wife or the husband or the whatever. And God's going to say, look, I wasn't interested in whether you had all those things or not. The thing that I was interested in regards to you was, will you love me? Will you keep my commandments? And will you go out and tell other people about me? I wasn't concerned about did you drink beer, or did you not drink beer, or did you quit drinking when you got saved and started. I mean, you know, there's so many things, and it goes on there and tells us in a couple places in the Bible the things that are driving you crazy about what other people are doing. It's driving you crazy because you want to do it, but you don't feel like you can because your conscience or the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you is telling you not to do it. And all this stuff festers up. And you see, if you ever see anything, there's lots of movies that blaspheme God and God's plan. And you'll see that twisted around a whole lot, like how God could be used as something equal or evil. And it's not the way that God works. It's just man twists things around in such a way. And there's where you can run into problems. So keep all that in mind as you move forward in this thing. So God's master plan is that I'd have a direct relationship with him. There's where we're missing this thing is I have an opportunity. This program of a morning, I've had hundreds of thousands of people. Well, somewhere over 100,000. I better not say hundreds of thousands. But I've had over 100,000 listen to both channels over the however many year period that it's been on. And you say, well, that's pretty good, you know. And it probably is pretty good. But at the end of the day, okay, I'm not doing this for you. I mean, you say, well, you're trying to get people saved. Yep. You're trying to tell people about Jesus. Yep. But at the end of the day, this program is for me to show Jesus that I'm interested in doing something outside of church for him. Does that make sense? I'm not on here trying to be, you know, the next big shot radio commentator in the area. I'm on here to show Jesus that I love him and that I know he's got a plan for my life, and that part of my obligation to him for being a living sacrifice to him and my reasonable service is to tell people about Jesus. And that's what we're doing. And that message we're trying to get across this morning is, please don't go through life thinking that you've got to live up to somebody else's standards. You know, we had in Sunday school yesterday the parable of the man that owed $1 million, and the parable went something like this. He owed $1 million, and the lord of the area said, we're going to sell you into slavery, take your family, your kids, and do all these different things. And the man begged for mercy, and he showed him mercy. Well, guess what? That's you and me. We're in sin if we're lost. We've never been saved. We've asked God for mercy because we've woke up one day and seen that we have a sin debt that we can't pay. We owe millions of dollars in sin debt to God. You say, well, you know, that's not real. Da, da, da. Yeah, it's real. It's a real sin debt because in Romans 6:23 it says the wages of sin is death. So the big pile of sin that I accumulated over my first 30 years of life, all of that was added up. And Jesus said, since you've surrendered to me in March of 1997, I'm going to get rid of this. So it's not God that brings back up my sin or remembers what I used to be. It's old Lunsford here, okay? Now, as I go through life and I'm fighting these two big dogs that live inside of me, as Philip Spurlock would say, the one dog being good and the one dog being the flesh or the evil that's still inside of me and still remembers things, it's the dog that I feed that's going to win this battle. So am I going to feed the dog that's doing the right thing and the Holy Spirit is exploding in my heart and is exploding in my actions and in my works and the places that I go and the things that I do? Is that what's going on? Or am I just going to surrender this thing out and just go through the motions? But we got into the discussion. The discussion was this. You know, some people think they can do something, and someone else looks at that and says, oh, you're going to sin and go to hell. You're not really saved because you do that. Well, once again, that brings us back to the weaker and the stronger brother and things of that nature. But here's what I would suggest to you. If you're having trouble with something, and everybody does, get into God's master plan, you see. Get into God's master plan, because in God's master plan, okay, you're going to find you have eternal life. You're going to find out that you have someone who knows everything about you. Everything that can be known, they know. Okay? So there's the situation with that. It's such a heartbreaking deal when I'm sitting around judging myself against other people. When I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ and the Son of God, what do I have to compare with anybody else? See, it doesn't even make sense. So, there it is. So, what are we going to do about it? Now, at the end of the day, I've got a direct relationship. I just told you I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a son of God. You know, some fantastic things are going on in my life. And God's got this thing in control. I believe in eternal security for the truly saved people. Because the truly saved people are in a church. The truly saved people are listening to God's word. The truly saved people are applying it to their lives. The truly saved people can take a sermon that beats the snot out of them and say, man, God is really good because he showed me the error of my ways. Now, if I'm the other guy and I say, well, that is just not me. I don't care what you say. I'm not a sinner. I can roll over to 1 John, not John the Gospel, but 1 John over there in the latter part of the Bible just before Revelation, and I can see that if, as a saved person, if I say that I have no sin, then I lie and the truth is not in me. Can you grasp onto that for just a little bit? I say, I have no sin, and the truth is not in me. You follow me? Because that's where we're at in this thing. We're in a day and time where nobody wants to be wrong or nobody admits to being wrong. Man, I could never have started a relationship with Jesus if I didn't admit that I was wrong. And I didn't admit that I'd fallen short of God's standard. Now, if I go around comparing my standard to what everybody else is, I'm doing myself a major disservice. And if I'm saved and something is eating me alive about what I can do and I can't do, I talk to an elder in my church and say, hey, what's going on? I talk to somebody I knew that really cared about the Bible. I might Google it. And you know, you say, Google the Bible? Listen, to find a quick answer, Google it. It'll give you the Bible verse. Then you can go back, right? And when you go back on it, then you can go back and find something. That's kind of where this thing is at. So at the end of the day, see, all of a sudden, now it starts to make sense. But everything that's going on in our lives and everything God's working on with the saved person is to conform you more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. So to pull something out of what the Old Testament said, you know, it's all good to do it. But at the same time, there's some of that Old Testament stuff that applied strictly to the Jewish people, and they couldn't live by that law. That's some of the things we forget sometimes. So God didn't change their law, but Jesus came, and it said was to fulfill, I think is how they put it, the law. What was going to fulfill that part of the law? Well, Jesus kind of capped that and said, let me show you what grace is. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is the opportunity, okay, to get into heaven based on all the works that Jesus has done. Nothing that I did. Nothing in this world that I could have possibly done that would have earned my way into heaven. But guess what? All because of Jesus. Now, that gets pretty exciting if you stop and think about it. Because when Jesus comes on the scene and things start to happen, all of a sudden I start to see things differently. I care about people in a different way. So I'm not going to be judging you in the respect of you can't do this and you can't do that and you need to quit this and you're an idiot if you do that. It's more along the lines of a compassion that I didn't have before. And in that compassion, all of a sudden, I do things a little different. I say things a little different. You see? And that's kind of where this Christian thing, because I can't make anybody get saved. Now, when you get saved, you're starting to think, man, I'm going to tell everybody, and everybody's going to, you know, you don't realize how hard it is and that people don't want to hear it, and you didn't want to hear it either before you got saved. But you've got that excitement because you see what Jesus has done for you. We all need to keep that excitement. We all need to keep telling people because there will be a certain remnant of people that get saved, that do respond, that do see themselves as the sinner that they are, and they do surrender. The person that never sees themselves as a sinner is going to have some deep trouble. What do you mean deep trouble? Well, if you never see yourself as being wrong, God can't use you. Well, what does that mean? God wants a bunch of losers? That means God wants you to come to a point in your life where you see yourself for what you are. There's such a heartbreaking thing I hear going on in this world because people have no clue. Okay? People have no clue what's going on out here. People don't realize nobody at any job can use you unless you want to talk about your failures. Nobody wants to talk about their failures. See, there's books written about people who failed and failed and failed and failed, and then they hit on their thing and they struck it rich. Well, nobody wants to go to lunch with this guy when he's the town failure. Nobody wants to be around for the knocks and the bangs on this guy's life, but everybody wants to celebrate him and buy his book when he gets to the top on this. it's kind of scary stuff, isn't it? So I would beg you to really examine your own life, because Jesus said, get the speck of dust out of your, or get the beam out of your own eye before you worry about the speck of dust that is in someone else's eye. Lots in that right there, I'll tell you. So think on it, study on it, and let's pray about what Jesus' move is next in your life, because he does have a master plan, and he just wants to be your God. He wants to take you and do things with you that you don't really understand it when it's happening, you know, because all you're thinking of is, man, I got saved, I got out of hell. But there is a master plan in all this. And in the master plan, God's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of you. And you really can't, there's just nothing that's better. I mean, there's eternally nothing that's better, because God's going to take you to a place called heaven. But at the end of the day, you cannot do any better than God's master plan for your life. So when you stop and look around, there's all kinds of things happening out here in this world. All kinds of things. You got choices to make. You can go this way. You can go that way. You can think you don't need to go away. I mean, you can do it a million different ways from Sunday. But at the end of the day, God's plan is so much better than your plan. Oh, it's hard to figure it out sometimes, I know. It's hard to think on it sometimes, I know. But at the end of the day, God's plan, how wonderful the plan is. I'm hoping that you find it. I'm hoping you make it happen for you. And I hope it's everything. Well, I know it'll be everything that you thought it would be. Have a great day. God bless.